Good morning, Boker Tov. Everybody has sheets? Okay. It is Hebrew. Okay, good morning, everyone. Sheets are coming around. We have a new Sefer this week. And I would venture to guess that most people in this room have never heard of this Sefer. The reason I chose this Sefer... What's that? Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Very sweet of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's a teacher's pet.
That's right. It gets a higher mark. Thank you, Jerry. Fiscal mitzvos.
Remember, I'm going to hold you to the end.
That's right. So this Sefer, I suspect that most people here have never heard of. Many rabbis have never heard of it. I don't remember exactly how even I came across this Sefer. For those who don't, there's still more packets here. Are you going to share it with Roy? Okay. However, I wanted to learn the Hakdama to this Sefer as the beginning of a two-part Hakdama, two Hakdamas that we're going to do back-to-back, focused on a specific ideal, which is close to many of us. And so we're going to think about this ideal in a way that perhaps we never did before, using a medium, learning this Hakdama, these two Hakdamas that maybe we never did before. And not only that, I resisted once again my age-old Yetzirah of trying to do them both in 1 week. So we're going to actually do them properly without being rushed. So we're going to do one this time. Next week, Amir Tzashem, we're not going to be because it's Thanksgiving weekend. Amir Tzashem, the following Sunday, we're going to do the second. So the ideal, what is the theme that we're going to be focusing on? The focus is going to be on Israel. The spiritual aspiration of Eretz Yisrael and the Geula. And to do that, we're going to look at two Hakdamas of two parts of learning that are often, most often, overlooked. David, that's it, you're stuck. So, the first one, the Sefer that we're going to have today, has to do with the Seder in learning, which is very, very important, very complex, and very infrequently studied, and that is Seder Zroim. You know, there are six orders in Mishnayos and Shas. Brachos is the only tractate in the Talmud Bavli that is treated in Seder Zroim. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Israeli Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud, it is treated. But in the Talmud Bavli, it's not studied. And then the next one is going to be Seder Kodshim, the works related to the Beis HaMikdash. So each of these has a very interesting Hakdama with a different perspective of two men who overlapped in their lifetime, although I don't think they ever met each other. I can't say with certainty. I doubt they ever met each other. But these two men lived at the same time, and they came from... In a certain sense, they came from the same kind of background. In a certain sense, they came from a different perspective. But they were both very focused on Eretz Yisrael and the Geula and the Beis HaMikdash and a bigger dream than just worrying about where our next meal is going to come from in Golus. And I thought that this is an important thing to reinforce for ourselves. We need to come back to these ideas time and again because, unfortunately, the reality is that for most of us, for most of the year, we're living in Golus. Not all of us have the schus to be going on a regular basis to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if from a tax purpose standpoint, you're technically living in Israel or technically living in Chicago. Israel. But Israel, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, just finishing my job till December 31st.
Okay.
And we're packed until March 15th.
Do you have room
we'll
for
still
us?
We'll be going to Mir Yashir.
Okay.
And then,
But halavai, we should all be on that level. And if we're not, so how do we orient ourselves? So I wanted to introduce you to these two. Good. You don't have to stay. You can give this year. I want to introduce you to two svarim. Today's Sefer is, and for some reason the Xerox didn't work, so I just hand wrote it on the cover of your packet. It's called Toras Zroim. Toras Zroim, the Torah of Zroim. And before I tell you the name of the person who authored this paper, I want to read you a quote, which you don't have in your packet. This is the following quote. I was very excited to see the pamphlets being published on the Talmud Yerushalmi, Seder Zroim, from, quote, the Honorable, my friend, my dearly beloved, the Rabbi, the Gon, the genius, Drofaski de Oraisa, the brilliant, eminent Torah scholar, v'chule, v'chule, etc., etc.
You ran out of words.
Such and such. And I know well, Rav, Hin Erko Shel Harav Hagon Hanal Sheyichya, I know the value, the worth of this rabbi. He is from the B'nai Aliyah HaMitsuyanim, the outstanding young people who are growing and learning. What is most amazing about what I read to you just now is the man who wrote these words. I don't know enough about the world of literature to give a good secular equivalent to this, but the author of these words is a man who is colloquially referred to as Reb Velvel, Reb Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav. And at this point, your jaw is on the floor. The Brisker Rav is known to be incredibly austere, unusually terse. When I read this Haskama, I'm thinking this is unbelievable. I don't know if the Brisker Rav wrote Haskamas in general. I don't know enough about that. And if he wrote Haskamas, which he probably didn't generally, if he ever wrote a Haskama, the fact that he would use this type of honorific language about somebody who is at this time not even 30 years old is mind-boggling. And it just goes to tell you what a significant Torah personality it was who's writing this book. If the Brisker Rav is writing about you, that you are Harav Hagon, that I know the incredible value, Marganisa Deleis Beitemi B'Torah V'Yira Shemaim V'Chol Yoker V'Skula, everything about Torah that is precious he has, it's unbelievable. This must have been somebody exceptionally precious. How did the Brisker Rav know this man? Who was he? So his name was Rav Aryeh Leib Pomeranchik. Pomeranchik was his last name.
What name?
I'll tell you. He was born on Leil Pesach in 1908 in Brisk. What's that?
It's on the cover of the World
Series. Oh, it was a very auspicious time. He learned. That's okay. So he was born in Brisk, in Lita, and this is how the Brisker Rav knew him, because the Brisker Rav knew him as a child. The Brisker Rav knew this young man. He learned in a yeshiva that was called Torah Chesed, that was headed by a man who was the author of a sefer called Meleches Yom Tov. And if I'm not mistaken, when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, wait a second, I think, I didn't check with him, but I think Rav Shechter once told us that Rav Soloveitchik liked quoting from a sefer called Meleches Yom Tov, which now I put it together why he would like that sefer, because he was a rav in Brisk. I'm wondering if that's the right sefer that I'm thinking of. So he studied first in Brisk in this yeshiva, and he was very connected to the mashkiach. He was a very refined person, so he was very interested in learning Musar, developing his character. And then for 10 years, he studied with the Brisker Rav. And that's how the Brisker Rav knew him inside out. In 1933, there was a yeshiva called Beis Yosef in Bnei Brak that sent a message that we need a real budding Talmud Chacham to come to be a Rebbe in our yeshiva in Bnei Brak. What was Bnei Brak at that time? It was kimat nothing. My grandfather, Olav HaShalom, my paternal grandfather, who went to Palestine at that time in 1933, he worked in an undershirt and shorts with a few friends on a kibbutz somewhere with a shovel. But he was very active, and he had a lot of amazing adventures in his life. So a lot of his life's artifacts were donated to an archive. So at one point, when I was single, I went for a trip to find these artifacts that my grandmother, Allah HaShalom, had donated to an archive. And in there was an arrest document. He was arrested, my grandfather, for protesting Chilul Shabbos in Bnei Brak.
Wow.
That's what it was. So he was arrested by the Palestine police for holding a sign that said Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. This Mizrahi kid who came from America from a Hasidic religious Zionist shtiebel was in Bnei Brak protesting Chilul Shabbos. I'm just saying how interesting the world works. At that time, it was the tiny place.
It gives us a whole new insight into you.
It's in my background, that's right. It was a tiny place. It was a backwater. So they said, could you send us? And this was not uncommon that people said to Europe, send us someone who's an aspiring giant. So he came to Israel, and he studies there. And then in 1936, he gets married and he moves to Petach Tikva, also a very small yeshuv at that time. And where does he go to learn? He goes to learn in a place called the Beis Medrash L'Toras Eretz Yisrael. Young men who are learning. And what is the focus of the learning? The sole lima that they had was the halachos that are pertinent to the land of Israel. Because already at that time, there was a focus in the world of Torah learning on the reality of living the mitzvos hatuluyos ba'aretz. So these are halachos that had been, I don't want to say they had been abandoned, but they had been not studied for hundreds of years. Who was studying the halachos of Eretz Yisrael? No one was living there. You know, they had a few people, but there was no yeshuv. There was no reason to learn those halachos. They were like, you would say, in a halachic parlance, they were like a meis mitzvah. Who in the 15th century is learning halachos of Eretz Yisrael? Very few people. So they have this kolel, Beis Medrash for Torah Eretz Yisrael, and who is one of their outstanding members? Rav Aryeh Leib Pomeramchik. And so when he's there, he starts to put together his Chidushei Torah on the Mishnayos, on the Sugyas, the topics in Zerum from the Yerushalmi. And he publishes them in this very thin, skinny, tall volume called Torah Zerum. Subsequent to that, this Sefer is not so well known, but for those who study Moed, he moved on from Zerum to Moed. He started writing down his essays on Moed, and that's called Emek Bracha, the Valley of Blessing, and it's a very amazing Sefer because he has a magical quality of being able to take a very complex idea and distill it into a clear, concise essay that's just a few paragraphs. So if you're ever looking to give a shiur and you're like, I can't go through a whole tshuva of the Noda Behuda, it's going to be too long. So the best shortcut, don't tell anyone, but I'm telling you, the best shortcut is, you want a topic, you look in the Emek Bracha. He has, sometimes it's just a half a page. Something on Hallel, something on Shofar, or Sukkah, or, you know, whatever, and a lot of these topics are very relevant to give a shiur, or to give a Dvar Torah, or to stay a Shtigl Torah, something like that. And it's so clear, it's so concise. He had this amazing gift. And then it was Sunday night, I'll tell you the date, Sunday night, December 28th, 1941. It describes in the Hakdamah of the Sefer that he came home late from the yeshiva, from the Beis Medrash. He took care of a few things in the house. He went to sleep, and he never woke up in the morning. He never woke up. He died. He was 34 years old. So on his matzeva, it says, Po nitman av batorah rach b'shanim. He was a father in Torah, but he was soft in his years. Yoga b'Torah v'yira, harav hagon hatzadik, the righteous, the gon Rav Aryeh ben Reb Zev Pomeramchik. Zatzal, author of the Sefer Toras Zroim, and the Sefer Emek Bracha b'kisve yad. What does it mean, b'kisve yad? Exactly, meaning he had written the Emek Bracha, but he had not yet published it. Because he died in the middle. And then it says, he died in the 34th year of his life on Yom Ches Shvat Tavshin Beis. Wow. What he would have been, what he would have become, just from the little bit that we have. So that's the background of his life and his story. there's so many different aspects, I think, that we could think about when we think about what it means for somebody to leave the world of learning in Europe and go to Palestine in the early 1930s, right? Think about what that must have meant. You know, the sacrifice. There were few Rabbanim who did this, but you were giving up your whole world and you were moving to an unknown place. And where that was kind of like a huge...
Of course, what would have happened if you would have stayed in Europe?
Yeah. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
So now that we understand all of this, which is amazing, we now can think about his Hakdama. So his Hakdama begins with the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Go to page 1. No sein neshama la'am aleha v'ruach l'hol chiba. So this Pasuk is in Perek Mem Beis of Yeshaya. It's the middle of a beautiful prophecy. Ko amar hokel Hashem borei shamayim v'notehem, rokah ha'aretz v'tzetzaeha, etc. But the Gemara in Maseches Ksubis quotes this verse. And some of you may have heard of this passage. And Rav Pomeranchik Zatzal is going to drill deep to understand what it means. Amar Rab Yirmiya Bar Abba. I'm on the left indent at the top of the column. Amar Rab Yochanan. They say from Rab Yochanan. Now, Rab Yochanan, who was Rab Yochanan? He was one of the first generation Amoraim. So he was a student of Rab Yehuda Hanasi, living in the land of Israel. He says, Kol HaMahalach Arba Amos Be'eretz Yisrael. A person who walks 4 Amos in the land of Israel, muftach lo, it is promised for him, shehu ben ha'olam haba, that he is a ben olam haba. Some are familiar with this, yes, hands? Familiar with this idea? A person who walks 4 Amos in the land of Israel, that person is an heir to the world to come. That's what it says in the Gemara. If you walk 4 Amos in Eretz Yisrael, you get olam haba.
I don't remember how much an
amma
is.
So an amma, it's a machlokas. Let's assume it's approximately 18 inches.
Very short distance.
That's it.
Okay. Not a big hike.
Not a long hike, no.
Five,
let's go with 6. Amma bat shisha tefachim. So he wonders, what is this about? What is it about walking 4 ammas in Israel, in the land of Israel, that a person becomes a ben olam haba? What's so special about that? And he sets it up with a stira, with a contradiction. So go to the first line, line number 1, here on page 1, line 1. V'hine, hine l'chura, ha dezoche bezeh le'olam haba, this that a person merits for olam haba, for the world to come, who misgulos eretz Yisrael. It is from the treasured qualities of Israel. He suggests that must be why it is. What are the treasured qualities of Eretz Yisrael? Ukumosha hirbu shem chazal b'shevach Eretz Yisrael uskulosel, line 2. That they said so many praiseworthy things about Israel. Like what? Second line. Shekol hadar b'Eretz Yisrael, Aleph Yud is the common acronym for Eretz Yisrael. A person who lives there, sharoi b'lo avon. It is as if they are dwelling without any sins. V'chol ha-kavur ba, anybody who is buried there, niskaper lo, is atoned by being buried in Eretz Yisrael. D'chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, v'chiper ad maso amo, that its land, line 3, achieves kapara for him, for his nation. U'ki'ilu kavur tachas ha-mizbeach. And it's as if the person is buried beneath the sanctified space of the Mizbeach. Yeah.
How do you explain the exile?
What if
everybody living there is forgiven and all this other stuff, then they shouldn't have been exiled.
Oh, very good question. So, as we know, areas in life always have multiple dimensions or multiple planes at different aspects. So perhaps in one aspect, somebody could be considered shawi below avon, but in a different aspect, they could be punished for whatever averus they do. It doesn't mean that the person doesn't have to take into account any of their averus. But in a certain respect, you could say, a certain aspect, they are shor. The Gemara says similarly the opposite. Kol ha-dor b'chutz l'aretz ki'ilu ovid avodah zara. It's ki'ilu ein lo eloka. So what they're saying is there's a dimension of our Avodas Hashem that is sorely lacking in Chutz La'aretz, that when we're part of a Gentile society, we're almost drawn into a world of Avodah Zarah. So I think it's a good point, but it probably means on one specific level, it doesn't mean exclusively. However, he says, I have a kasha. Look at the medrash that he quotes on line number 3 in Mishlei, Parsha Yud Zayin. He says, Tov pas chareva, line 4, v'shalva ba. It is better to eat, what's pas chareva? It literally means burnt bread or stale bread, like, you know, not tasty bread, and equanimity. Amrab Yochanan, what does that mean? It's better to have simple bread with equanimity. Zu Eretz Yisrael. That's the land of Israel. That what? Sha'afilu ochel adam b'chol yom pas v'melach. Even if a person eats every day bread and salt, v'dar b'soch Eretz Yisrael, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. If you live there, you are assured that you are a person of the world to come. Amrab Yochanan, kol ha-mahalach be'eretz Yisrael afilu shah achas, a person who walks in Eretz Yisrael even one moment, umeis besocha, and dies in it. By the way, this is part of the controversy, this line of umeis besocha, about the question of people being buried in Israel. Is it the value, the kapara comes from, the kapara comes from being buried in Israel? Here it sounds like umeis besocha. There were some discussions among acharonim about, and other commentaries about, the value of being, of dying in Chutz La'aretz and being buried in Israel. Not for today. He says, muftach lo, that person is muftach lo, shu ben olam haba, dechsev v'chi perad masu amo. So he says, wait a second, says Rav Pomeranchik, this sounds inconsistent with what we said before. Because what we said before was, if a person walks for Amos in Eretz Yisrael, they are called a ben olam haba, person of the world to come. And now we're saying, it's not enough just to be there, a person has to die there or be buried there. He says, I don't understand. Hari Mavur, didas Rabbi Yochanan, didafka dar be'eretz Yisrael, either you live there, demashma bikvi'ut, line number 7, hu dezocha lo'olam haba, aval mahalach ba, you just walk in it. Unless a person dies there. This is a contradiction between what Rabbi Yochanan says in Ksubis, in the Gemara, and what he taught in the Medrash. So which is it? That is the question. That's what's bothering him. We have to resolve this contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's put that on the side. He says, let's take a step back and focus on a specific aspect of Eretz Yisrael that sometimes we don't think about. He says, the first thing we're going to talk about, let's go to line number 9. He says, you should know, halfway down the line, De'ikar ha-hashlama shel kiyum ha-mitzvos, the main fulfillment of mitzvos, Afilu line 10, mitzvos shehin chovas haguf, even mitzvos which are on the person, like tefillin and mezuzah and Shabbos candles and kashrus and all the things that we do that are specific to us as people, have nothing to do with the agriculture. The main fulfillment of those mitzvos, toli dafka be'eretz Yisrael. A person who wears tefillin this morning in Skokie, it's good. But it's not like wearing tefillin in Rehovot. It's not the same. Which is interesting because tefillin, you would think tefillin is tefillin. Your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis that mitzvah shouldn't matter. But he says, it's Beferish in the Torah, line 11, halfway down. The Pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschan, Re'ei limadati eschem chukim mishpatim, line 12, Lasus came beker of Haaretz, to do these mitzvos in the land. And Va'usi tziva Hashem ba'esahi, line 13, L'lamid eschem chukim mishpatim lasoschem osam ba'aretz asheratim ovrim shama l'rishta, to do them in the land that you're going over to inherit. And similarly, he quotes more psukim, line 16. Hare, de'ikar kol ha-mitzvos, the main purpose of mitzvos, le'yoshvim be'eretz Hashemu. It's for those who are living in the land of Israel. And he quotes this. He says, you want to know where this is developed? Look at the comment of Ramban, Nachmanides, in the end of Parshas Acharei Mos, where the Ramban has a long essay about exactly this point. A long essay, how the main fulfillment of mitzvos is in Israel. Of all mitzvos. Turn the page. And he goes even further. He quotes the Sifri, which is, this is the building block of that essay of the Ramban. The Pasuk says, "Va'avadatem mehera me'al ha'aretz v'samtem es dvorai ila al levavchem." It says the Kriya Shema, we say it every day in the second paragraph of Shema. It says, if God forbid, we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing, "Va'avadatem mehera," will be quickly driven out, will be lost. And then what does it say? At the end of the second parashah in Shema, that we should put these things on our heart, we should wear tefillin and mezuzahs. So why do you think, says the Medrash, after you're thrown out of Israel, it tells us that we should put on tefillin and put a mezuzah on our house? What does that have to do with getting thrown out of Israel? What might you have thought? What might we have thought?
That you can't come back once you're thrown out.
Okay, but what does that have to do with putting a mezuzah on your house?
You're showing that you want to, that God is coming through your heart. You're showing that you're trying to assimilate, you know, integrate.
Okay, but what does that have to do with getting sent out of Israel and being told that we're still supposed to put a mezuzah on our door? Yeah? That's right. Because now that we understand that the main purpose of mitzvahs is connecting to Hashem in Israel, you have a havamina that you wouldn't have to put a mezuzah on your house. You wouldn't have to lay tefillin on your arm. So that's just the habit. You know, what's the kamash malon? What's the answer? So look what it says, second line. Af la'achar she tiglu min ha'aretz, even though you are expelled from Israel, heyu mitzuyonim b'mitzvus, you should do mitzvus. Hanichu tefillin, third line, asu mezuzus. Now this is the incredible line. Why should we do mitzvus today in Skokie? Kedei shelo yu lachem chadashim. So that it should not be new when we go back to Israel. Amazing.
Practice.
That's it. Practice. Really? Wow. The mitzvahs that we do here, they're just keeping us warm that when we get back to Israel, we could do them. Amazing.
Not doing them isn't so bad.
Apparently. I'm not recommending it. Everyone's going to be like, all right, after today's share, it doesn't really matter.
Dreyfus.
Exactly. Go to line 5. It's line 4. Hare mavur, it's clear, de'ikar ki ha-mitzvahs einu ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvad, line 5. The main thing is the fulfillment of mitzvahs in the land of Israel. Umemela. And from this, it's obvious. Move on me, Zeh, it's clear from here. Deschara mitzvah shemakayim be'eretz Yisrael. The merit of the mitzvahs that we're performing in Eretz Yisrael, hu gadol harbe yoser. The merit is much greater. Mischara mitzvah shemakayim b'chutz laretz. And that's why he says, perhaps, that a person who does mitzvos in the land of Israel, umekaymen osam be'eretz Yisrael, in that merit, you get olam haba. Because the mitzvahs in Israel are supercharged. They're at a different level. And so his suggestion is that in specific mitzvahs, when you do them in Israel, you get this extra zchus, and he quotes a Yerushalmi in Shkolim, second to last line here, line 7, page 2, Tana b'shem Reb Meir kol mi shekovea be'eretz Yisrael, anybody who establishes themselves in Israel, v'kori kriya shema, and you read shema, b'bokir u'be'erev, yehi mevusar sheben olam habahu. He's known that he is a person of the world to come. Why? Because he said shema in Israel.
Just saying Shema.
Not Dalai Lama's yet. He's going to get to Dalai Lama's in a second. This is the setup.
These are alternative pathways?
Yes. Multiple, as Rav Lichtenstein Zichrono Levracha would say, Arutzim Shonim. Right? Different channels, yeah.
Well, our prayers are bring us back from the four corners and take us so that we can serve you in the land. Our whole
That's right.
is built on that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but if that's true, why didn't Europe, the Jews of Europe, the learners?
Oh, says Maor, this is a very difficult question. You know who asked your question? Your Mechavin. The Melech HaKuzar, the king of the Khazars, in the famous, important Jewish work of philosophy called the Sefer HaKuzari, says to the Chaver, to the Jew, you know, he interviewed different religions, so he says to the Jew, who's telling him all about the importance of going to Israel, he says, really, sir, so could you tell me, why is it that you guys are all hanging around? And he says, I'm ashamed to tell you, he writes, and this is the Lashon, that in this respect, our prayers, when we say V'li Yerushalayim Yircha and Tzemach David, are, this is his words, not mine, Kitziftzuf Hazarzir. Like the chirping of a bird. He says, I'm ashamed. Because if we really felt that way about our prayers, we probably would make more of an effort to get out of here.
But it's funny, because in that film, we just learned, if I'm remembering correctly, that if you learn, and if you say Kriya Shema, if you learn in the morning, and it says Torah the whole day, like you were, and then it says even Kriya Shema, you're not supposed to tell the Amoratzi.
Right.
So, and that says nothing about Eretz Yisrael.
Right. So what he's saying is that this Yerushalmi is telling you that, yes, what Jeff is saying is the Gemara says in Menachos, the Gemara has a Shaila about what is the minimum Sheba minimum fulfillment of Talmud Torah. Because it's hard. On the one hand, it says V'hakisa bo yomam v'layla. On the other hand, it says Lo yomash sefer haTorah. So you should learn at night, morning and night, and it says you should never stop learning. So which is it? Is it all the time, or is it just, you know, how do you navigate that? So the basic, bare bones minimum that one of the opinions, it's a big machlokas, a long discussion, is that just say Shema in the morning and Shema at night, you had some learning. That's why Chazal wanted, the tradition was, they wanted to make sure everybody learns a little bit. So that's why they put in the davening, you have Elu Devarim, so you have a little bit of learning, and then you have Ezer Mekoman and Rabbi Yishmael. So if you have time to say Ezer Mekoman and Rabbi Yishmael, that's good. So that's a little bit of learning. Everybody should catch a little bit of learning in the morning before you get started for your day. That's Talmud Torah.
But it doesn't mention this.
So what's Rav Pomeranchik saying? He says, but look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there's something else. Yes, you checked the box for your Kiyum of Talmud Torah today. You did your learning morning and night. But that doesn't make you an instant Ben Olam Haba. He says, if you do that learning, even that little bit of learning in Israel, then, says the Yerushalmi, Yemavusa Shubon Ben Olam Haba.
But isn't
Why?
It interesting that's in the Yerushalmi, but not in the Bavli.
It's true. It is interesting that it's in the Yerushalmi, not in the Bavli. And it's also interesting that...
That's their perspective.
Okay. Could be. Could be. It's definitely an emphasis in the Yerushalmi. Although the Gemara in Kiddush, in Ksubas that we started with, is in the Bavli. Uh-huh. But this question about going to Israel, historically, has been a very complicated one. If you look... The Medrash has a very, it's also, it appears the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma. The Gemara has a very sad social commentary. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Imchoma hi nivna alea tiras kesef. If it's like a wall, then we'll put a tower of silver on it. Vimdelasi notzer alea luach orez. It's a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. But if it's like a delas, which means literally a door, then we'll put a beam of wood. So the Medrash says, and the Gemara alludes to this in the beginning of Yuma, what's the difference between a wall and a door? A wall is strong and solid, and it's very significant, and a door is just a door. It's one piece of a big structure. So the Medrash says, Im ya'alu kachoma, if the Jews go up to Israel like a wall, then the Beis HaMikdash is going to look like Tiras Kesef, a castle made out of silver. But if they go like a Deles, because Deles comes from the word Dal. Dal means impoverished, means just a shtickle. Then it's just going to be Luach Orez. It'll be like a piece of wood. So when Ezra says to everybody, hey, Chevra, let's go on Aliyah. How many people from Bavel went on Aliyah with Ezra? 43,000 and change. He comes to the river and he sees, you know what he doesn't even have? He doesn't even have any Levium to suffice to function in a Beis HaMikdash. So the Levium get punished. It's not a thing we like to talk about. It's a shameful thing. But the Levim don't get... it was a takana that the gifts that were supposed to be given to the Levim went to the Kohanim. The Levim didn't get Meiser because they didn't show up. So, you know, it's painful for us to talk about it because when we think for ourselves, and we're not, I'm not here, God forbid, lo aleinu, nobody should have any havamina sheba havamina, that this is about Musar. This is about aspiration. So we're living here, but it's important to remind ourselves where we want to be, even if we're not there today or tomorrow. But if we don't keep this dream alive, then we'll never get there. Because the Gemara says, Echad hadorba ve'echad hametzapa larosa. Whether you live there or you desire, you dream, you wish you were there. So this is also a chizuk. This is also part of it. I'm not suggesting, first of all, nothing I'm saying is mine. This is just what it says in the Shtickel Torah here. But I'm not suggesting that we should all walk out of here and be like, oh, we're terrible sinners. We might be, but not because of what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with that. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves, reminding ourselves about what the gift of Eretz Yisrael is. That's what it is. We have to remember that that is the goal. And we shouldn't be thinking about going to Israel just because, lo aleinu, there's terrible hate-mongering and there's terrible anti-Semitism, like unprecedented in modern American history, what's going on these... Someone told me recently, someone in the Kolo said he just went for curiosity onto this website. I think it was called Gab, yeah. Gab.com. He says what he sees on there, pachad b'chadim. Mamash pachad b'chadim, what's going on. But someone, I think it was Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Levrach, in the early 70s, either right before or right after he left, I think... He sent a letter or someone sent him a letter. I forget how he described this exactly, about going to Aliyah. He says, I'm not going to go on Aliyah. Or he was writing to someone, say, don't go on Aliyah because you're afraid of getting mugged in Washington Heights. So you should go on Aliyah because this is the dream. This is the goal. So what Chazal are telling us is that the mitzvahs that we perform in Israel are at a totally different level. It doesn't mean we shouldn't perform mitzvahs. It doesn't mean we don't have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean our lives don't have tremendously powerful religious and spiritual meaning. You know, there might be people who will say that, and I find that I find it impossible to accept. I find it impossible to accept somebody would say, if you stay in Chutz Laretz, your life is spiritually desiccated and you have no meaning. You're telling me that Reb Chaim Alevi Soloveitchik, his life had no spiritual meaning? You're telling me that the Sfas Emes, the Helga Sfas Emes had no spirit, that the Ben Ish Chai, they had no spiritual meaning? No. It just means that, you know, we have to realize what this means, and for every person to keep that at the forefront of our mind. That's what he's telling us. That we should realize what this means. This is written by somebody who is going through the difficulties of living in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what he had in Petach Tikva. You know, Petach Tikva, as we know, is one of the first Moshavot, so it was probably fairly advanced. They probably had three donkeys, not just two. You know, like, I have the descriptions of, well, we shouldn't bring up Tisha B'Av, but on Tisha B'Av, when I'm doing some research sometimes, I came across a book that had a description of firsthand accounts of marauding attacks on Moshavot, and one of them was on Petach Tikva. They had to have special defense brigades because the British didn't provide adequate defense for Jews. And a bunch of Arab marauders would wake up one day and decide, you know, we're just going to pillage the neighbors. So it's not easy, but he's telling us this is what our spiritual roadmap is supposed to be about. And that's why we're learning it. Yes.
But who could be greater than the Rambam?
Yes.
And the Rambam went to Israel, and because the Crusaders and stuff were there and the community was getting massacred, he didn't stay to get martyred, which is what this thing would seem to be saying. It's best to die in Eretz Israel. He went down to Potsdam.
Right. So let's just clarify one thing. It's not saying that it's best to die in Eretz Israel as the aspect of martyrdom. That's a separate thing. Right, martyrdom is a separate question. Here it's just saying that there is a special kapara of either dying in and being buried or being buried because of the verse that says in the end of Sefer Dvarim, v'chiper ad maso amo, that the land of Israel achieves some kind of atonement for the person, which is a deep spiritual idea that is beyond my level of comprehension and education and knowledge. It's probably alluded to the fact that this Medrash said it's like being buried underneath the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a makom kapara. So there's an element of kapara atonement for the soul, that the earth, which is the origination point of people, and the Evan Shtia, that was the origination point of the whole universe, that the person's body goes back to the source, to the land of Israel, where everything started. But anyway, this is just a setup. So he says, now, says Rav Pomeranchik, I can answer our contradiction. I can answer our stira. Why? Go to line 9. He says, Lufi Zenire. It makes sense. Ha to Amr Rabbi Yochanan. This Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mahalach be'eret arba amos be'eret Yisrael muftach lo shul ben olam haba." If you walk for amos, that alone is called being ben olam haba. Ein zem yiskulas ha'aretz. It's not because of the quality of the land of Israel. No, that doesn't make you a ben olam haba. Ela mishum schar hamitzvah, but because of the merit of the mitzvah. We just said that if you do a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, it takes you to a new level. Well, he says, this walking in Eretz Yisrael for Amos is a mitzvah. What mitzvah is it? What's that? Yeah?
Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
That's right. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Settling the land of Israel. What does that mean? He says, Ela mishum schar mitzvah ba'ad, mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Exactly what Mara said. She'a Ramban minam b'minyan ha-mitzvos le-mitzvah sasei chiyuvis. The Ramban counted this as a positive mitzvah. And even those who disagree that it is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's certainly everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah chiyumis. And therefore, if just like every other mitzvah is supercharged that you become a ben olam haba, certainly the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael makes you supercharged. So he says, we'll go to the next paragraph, 16. How does this now answer our problem? He says, Lefi zeh, lamed pei zayin, lefi zeh, according to this, a person who merits the next world, it's not because of the special treasured quality of Israel, it's the mitzvah of settling the land, al karchach, its necessity is be'inan davka sheyishe be'eretz Yisrael, a person has to dwell in Israel, kedehiluch dalet amos, the time it takes to walk for amos. So he says, the pshat is not that you walked 4 amos in Israel. It's not that you walked 6 feet. It's that you stayed in Israel. This is an interesting discussion in halacha in general. When you talk about a shear like this, amount of measurement, is it amount of distance or is it amount of time? So his chiddush is that it's not a distance issue. If you get off the plane and you sit down and you stay there for the amount of time that it would take to walk 6 feet, that is settling yourself. It's a miniature being settled. And if you're settled, that's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Mela, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, and it's a supercharged mitzvah. It's probably a double supercharged mitzvah because it's the whole Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that supercharges everything else. It's probably like a Powerball, like with a bonus ball. Tipipachos mishir zeh lo mikri v'yashavta ba. Less than the amount of time it takes to walk 6 feet. That's not called yeshiva. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. V'zeu sh'am Rabbi Yochanan b'ksubas tamahalach dal ramas beretz Yisrael, line 18. Muftach lo shu ben olam haba dafka dal amos. But what about the Medrash? Line 19, Abba Masha Amar B'Medrash Mishlei Damahalach Sha'achas Beretz Yisrael Einu Zochel Olam Haba Elim Kemespa. But what did it say in the Medrash in Mishlei? The only person who gets Olam Haba is the person who dies there, who is buried there. Mishum V'chibra Ad Maso Amo Hare Mayri, it's talking Shalo Holach Dalet Amos. He didn't spend that time. He didn't go for Amos. Ela Sha'achas, only a second. Kayadua B'chol Makom B'chazal. So if a person only spends a quick second in Israel, did they fulfill yet the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? No. So then the only way that they get the special segula of Ben Olam Haba is what? If they're buried there. So he says it's not a contradiction. It's two channels, two options. Option A is to live there, even a short amount of time, even how long does it take to walk 6-7 feet? 10 seconds? 10 seconds? Maybe 8 seconds, less. That's one channel. Because if you spend 8 seconds in the land of Israel, that's like a mini settling. You spend some time there. But if you just pop yourself in there for a second and then you leave, you didn't. It's good. You got Avir Adar, but you didn't get the mitzvah. So you got the school up without the mitzvah. So what happens? The person arrives there and then instantly they pass away. Lo alein. But then they have the V'chipar Ad Masor. Two tracks. It's not a contradiction. In the first case, the person spent some time there and they get the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they're Ben Olam Haba, because it's the mitzvah in Israel. And in the second case is they didn't spend any time there, but at least they had the zchus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael.
So basically, anybody that goes to Eretz Yisrael, it's impossible to be there for a split second. So basically, anybody who goes to Eretz Yisrael...
Well, it would be possible. You know, sometimes you have a person who's taking a tiyul, and they wander somewhere, they wander out, they go in, they go out. You know, it's possible if you're walking. But the point is that what Jeff is pointing out is that realistically, what we realize here is that by the time you clear customs, you already are a Ben Eretz Yisrael.
But what about Kavana? Do you have Kavana?
Good. So, great. So what about Kavana? So the truth is, this goes back to a discussion that we once had, some of us, long time ago in the Rambam, about Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. So that's a classic sliding scale. You know, A, you have the question, the technical question, the legal question. Mitzvah Srichas Kavana or Ein Srichas Kavana? So if you pass in mitzvahs Ein Srichas Kavana, mitzvahs do not necessitate Kavana to fulfill them, so then technically you're fulfilling the mitzvah. But obviously there's a broad spectrum of how you fulfill a mitzvah. You know,
how do you interpret the word Yishuv, Eretz Israel? I mean, does that imply that you have to have Kavana?
I don't think so. It's the Pasuk says, via Shav Taba. Okay. You're living there. But obviously, Eino Dome, a person who thinks and prepares and frames their experience, is one which is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus someone who's not. It's Eino Dome. It's not the same. But at the same time, there's a certain kiyum, there's a certain fulfillment that even if you pass a mitzvah Ein Tzrichas Kavana, which is a big machlokas, if you pass a mitzvah Ein Tzrichas Kavana, even the person, you know, there's a big difference between somebody who lo aleinu doesn't know any better and they spend their time living on the beach in Tel Aviv, and that's the extent of their life, versus somebody who's living on Venice Beach. There's a big difference, right? That's the core of it.
So you're saying that.
They're going to get Olam Haba for lots of other reasons. So they'll get Olam Haba, let's say, for their Torah, their mitzvahs, their Masim Tovim, their Chesed. There were people throughout the ages who wasn't even possible for them. The Bali Atosos talk about, well, there's someone asked the Truma Sadesh in this, and earlier in the Bali Atosos they say, is there a mitzvah to go to Israel today? It's a big discussion that we've shown him. So one of the answers was, well, how are you going to go there today? We're living at the time of the Crusades. You're going to get massacred on the way there. So it's not possible. So there are other ways to be a Ben Olam Haba, but not, so for example, the Gemara says, a person says Ashrei three times a day. That's a Ben Olam Haba. The Gemara has a lot of different channels of how to be an Olam Haba.
So there's more than those.
Yes, exactly. Those are just two specific related to Eretz Yisrael, right? There's, you know, the Gemara says a lot, the Gemara has a lot of things that are, they orient a person that you're a spiritual person. So Ashrei, why is Ashrei three times a day? Because that means the person is so spiritually oriented that they say Ashrei in the morning, and then they say Ashrei at the end of Davin, and then they say Ashrei at Mincha. They're praising God a whole day. They must be a Ben Olam Haba. But then there's another aspect, which Ellen is alluding to, which is, well, what about the people who could never get there? So that's the other Gemara, where the Gemara says, Echad Hadorba, whether you live there, the Echad HaMetzah Pelerosa, somebody who dreams to be there. You can have somebody who never had the means, the ability to go there. But there were people in Europe who they had no ability. Or some, let's say the Vilna Gaon, at the end of his life, the Vilna Gaon actually left his family and tried to go to Israel. And then something happened, he got turned around. The same thing for Rav Nachman of Breslov. These were people who loved Israel. Rav Nachman, his whole life, he just wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he died in Uman. So It doesn't mean he's not a Ben Olam Haba. He's a Ben Olam Haba for 500 other reasons that we can't even imagine. But I would argue, perhaps you could say, based on the Gemara that says, if a person really sincerely dreams it, not like the Tzavtzuf HaZarazir, it says, yeah, I wish I could go to Israel, you know, but I'm not willing to, you know. But the person really, like this story with Rav Nachman, he tried, and then something happened, he had to turn around, he couldn't get there. And many people like that. So I wonder if you could argue, based on the other Gemara, that Mitzah Palarosa, they're really dreaming to be in Israel. Even if they never visited, or if they die before they had a chance to be there, that's also something, I think.
The Sefer Eba HaBanim Smicha, I mean, that really.
Could you imagine anybody? Yeah. You know, that's on my list of Hakdamas.
Yeah,
we want to do
God.
Once. Yeah. It's wild, amazing. So now let's go to page 3 before we run out of time. He says, from this we learn, Mizan Nilmot. Ad kama magia godel haschar. How amazing it is. The merit of orkiyam mitzvos be'eretz Yisrael. What an amazing thing it is to be mekayim mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. V'kamen haroim anachov alinu l'hischatek ul'hizdaris b'mitzvos v'kiyam mitzvos be'eretz Yisrael. Even in mitzvos chovas aguf, like davening and putting on tefillin. And then second to last word on the line 2. Kol shekein certainly b'mitzvos, third line. Mitzvos what? Hatluyos ba'aretz. Now you got it. Of course, it's important to talk about lighting Shabbos candles in Israel, but what about the mitzvos that are Israel specific? It says those for sure are important to talk about. Those are amazing to learn about. And he says, now you understand why I'm writing this sefer. Because this sefer is all about laws of mitzvos that apply in Israel. That's why. And therefore, how important it is, line 3, to learn Seder Zroim, that is Snogea Lemaisa, Lay the Halachas Atluyas Be'eretz Yisrael. And he says, look, this book that I'm publishing, it's very skinny, it's very thin, it's not big, but I just want it to be accessible to people. And I'm going to organize it according to Mishnayos. So if you want to look for a halacha of what to do, you can look it up. Because we have to remember the importance of not just fulfilling mitzvahs in Israel, but even more so the importance, the mitzvah of those, and these are actual mitzvahs today. These are alive. You go to Israel today, Tnuva, the dairy, they have a rabbi. They have mitzvahs. They're actually doing trumos and maisras. Recently, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon was here. So he has a whole... He has a whole world that he's dealing with every time it's Shemitah. How to observe Shemitah. These are actual mitzvahs masios. And that's why he says, the reason why I wrote this sefer is that we should learn Torah's Eretz Yisrael, Torah of Zroim, and get that mitzvah of connecting to the land of Israel. And he concludes with just a few thank yous. So who does he thank? And this is not uncommon. But it's a little, we haven't seen this so much yet in our Hakdamas yet this year, so this is a good example. He says, first, I want to thank on line 10, Rav Matisyo Zev Shizgal, who is the head of the yeshiva of Beis Yosef in Bnei Brak, who helped me make aliyah to come to Israel. Then line number 15, who does he thank? The Kolol Avreichim, Beis Medrash LaTorah Arts in Petach Tikva, where I'm learning all of these things. I want to thank the man, Rev Shimon Dov Halevi Horovitz, the Rosh HaYishuvim BePetach Tikva, line 20, who is funding this kolel. And then at the end of the page, he says, I want to thank my parents. Berig Shikavod, I want to thank Kvod Avi Mori Reb Zev Ben Reb Yehuda, and my mother, Moras Gittel Bas Rev Yaakov Yosef, that always, he was the youngest of his parents' children, who always sacrificed Masru Nafshem al Bneim Ubiyichor Alai Legadal Osi LaTorah. And this sefer that I'm writing should be a schus for my parents, and my all of my learning should be for Nachas for them, and a merit for them, and all of their descendants. Who else does he thank, of course, besides his parents? His father-in-law, his Rav Yisrael Zissel Kolev Dvoritz, who is the Av Beznin of Yozna in Lithuania, and to his mother-in-law, Maras Chaya Fega, Bas Rav Moshe Natan Luft, who came to Eretz Yisrael. And finally, who does he thank at the end? That's right. He thanks his wife, Pnina, who loves the Torah, that each one of them, Lekulam Yesh Chelek B'Torasi, each one of them has a portion of my Torah, of my Sefer, this Sefer that we studied the Hakdama this morning, Sefer Torah Zroim from Aryeh Pomeranchik. Sefer Tzadik Levracha, his memory should be for a blessing.
Hopefully, should give us Kizik to have patience with our different children.
Yes.
And their Shitas about Shemitah this.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.